Page 971 in the Pew Bibles. And while Bob's coming up to read, do we have the Martin family here? Martin family going to Sweden. Right here. Thank you. You'll want to see the Brennemans. They're candidating going to the field of Sweden. So you guys will have to cross aisles somewhere before this day is over with and talk to each other. All right, Bob. Acts chapter 7.
Good morning. I'll be reading from verse 20 through 39. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting, and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor was wrong. He who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, 'The Lord your God will raise you up for a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear.' This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt." May God add his blessing to his word.
Thank you, Bob. At this time, we will have the Hearts of Joy coming and presenting to us.
Good morning. We're so happy to be here with you today. My name is Courtney Rains-Lew, and we are Heart of Joy. I'm a little perky in the morning. You'll have to forgive me. It might be a little obnoxious, but this is who God made me to be. And when I came here, I said, "Die to self, Lord, you take over." So that's who you're seeing. Anyway, so I'll wake you up, right? Anyway, this is Jessica Spencer, and this is Terry Annan and Lisa Mitchell. Our desire as a Christian singing group is to glorify God and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'll give you a little bit of background about our group. In a nutshell, in the early 90s, I was an unsaved performer in the entertainment industry. I was in the Broadway musical Cats, and I was also a stunt double for children in television and film, believe it or not. I'm a girly girl. I'm not like an adrenaline junkie at all, but I'm very petite. I have heels on. I'm only 4'11". But anyway, once I became a believer in Jesus, my life's ambitions changed, and I wanted to serve Him, and that's it. So I moved from Los Angeles to this area and slowly formed this Christian singing group. And let me tell you what, singing for God is better than singing at Carnegie Hall. I'm absolutely out of my mind crazy for God and for His Word, the Bible. In fact, I'll share with you my favorite scripture verse. It's John 15:5. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Isn't that the truth? We need God and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Heart of Joy's mission is to, through music and testimonies, encourage others to seek first in their lives a personal relationship with God through Jesus and in His Word, the Bible. We hope that you will share in our enthusiasm for our wonderful, loving, and faithful God, and that you will seek Him first in all things.
And where you are is where I want to be. Your presence means so much more than all the world to me. You are the Savior who loved me from the start. And so I come to worship with a glad and grateful heart. Heart of joy, with your heart of joy. When you saved me from my life of sin and shame,
Heart of joy,
I thank you, Jesus, for my
heart of joy.
song we're going to sing is a hymn called Be Thou My Vision, and it was written by a missionary. His name was St. Patrick, and St. Patrick's story started when he was 16 years old, and he was kidnapped by pirates and taken as a slave to Ireland. And eventually, in Ireland, as a slave, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And eventually he escaped, and at the age of 30, he felt the call of God to go back to the very people who captured him in Ireland. And he went with one thing, his Latin Bible, and an incredible passion and desire to reach Ireland for Christ. And God blessed his ministry there, and over 200 churches were established, and over 100,000 people came to know Christ and were baptized. And so because of the obedience of St. Patrick, God just blessed, and many people through his mission came to know Christ. So that's such an encouragement that for us, whatever God's calling you to be obedient. But during that time of incredible spiritual growth, this song, Be Thou My Vision, was birthed. And the words, listen to the words, because it's just a song that has a single-minded purpose to glorify Jesus Christ. And each verse is loaded with description of who Christ is. So, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be homeless to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thou art, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I in thee
As I was praying about introducing this next song, I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you going to give me to say? And just a few weeks ago, we had a chance, my husband and I, he's here with me today, we went away to Vermont during PBU's fall break with a couple friends of ours. And we were driving home. We had a wonderful time just looking at God's creation, those beautiful leaves, the colors. And as we were driving home, just looking at the vista out there, Eddie said, and I just thought, this is just so of God. Eddie said, isn't it amazing that God could have chosen to just make those leaves turn brown and drop off and die? He says, but God gave us beauty in death, in the death of these leaves that they fall. I sat in the back seat and I was thinking about that and I just said, God, thank you for giving that to me, because you know what? What is more beautiful than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross for my sins? It was beautiful. But more beautiful than that is when spring comes. The leaves are green. The flowers are just brilliant and beautiful. When Christ arose, he was just brilliant white love for us. And that, it just filled my heart. And I will never really look at autumn the same again, ever since Eddie said that, because it just really makes me focus on Jesus Christ and the beauty in his death for me. The song that we're going to sing is actually a medley. We call it the blood medley, but it's all about the power of Jesus Christ and what his shed blood did for us. And you know what? That first drop of blood that was shed for us, and that wasn't even on the cross. It was when he was beaten and scourged. That first drop of blood just cleansed us. It gave us that chance of salvation. And I know I am so thankful for that. So you'll know some of these songs. Feel free to sing along with us. It has kind of a little Southern gospel twist. But really, if you know it, sing along and just praise the Lord with us.
When the bride is coming to your rosy eyes, pure and white.
that is our prayer for you, that everyone here today will truly be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you will know that Jesus loves you and that he raised from the dead just for you. So that is our prayer for us, that everyone knows that today. Hester.
Well done, ladies. We'll see you next Sunday. Very well done. Thank you very much. And that is a very true statement that she ended with. We do hope and trust that each one of you have applied that blood of Jesus Christ to your life. When they were talking about there is power in the blood of the Lamb, that talks about deliverance from the penalty of sin, hell. Deliverance from the power of sin, in which we can live victorious lives in Christ. And then that will also be power to deliver us one day from this sin-cursed world and enter into eternity in heaven, where there will be no more sin in any way, shape, or form. So if you've never thought that through about your sin debt, I think we'd all admit we're sinners. If you've never thought through how that's going to wash, or what's going to happen, or where's, if you're afraid of dying. Let me put it this way. I think we're all maybe a little afraid of dying. If you're afraid of death, though, like if you were to go to this funeral tomorrow and you'd be scared to death, you couldn't sleep tonight, you would just be sick to your stomach in many ways, you need to talk to one of the instrumentalists, myself, one of the Hearts of Joy. Pastor John will be coming in a minute, and we can show you how you don't have to fear what lies beyond the grave, but you can look forward to it, to having an eternal home in heaven. So thank you, ladies. Brother John Brenneman is going to be coming preaching to us. I'm glad he mentioned this. I should have done some digging on my own, but he mentioned last night that we have entered into a partnership since 1977. So 31 years. We have been together with the Brennemans in a partnership. He's kind of a long distance staff position here at Oxford Valley Chapel. And it's kind of said in jest, but in actuality, he is. We are able to help contribute to him with prayer and through the correspondence. There's that financial element as well, but we view him as an extension of our ministry. So he is a pastor also in a way of Oxford Valley Chapel. He just happens to be, how many miles is it to Sweden? Thousands, thousands of miles to Sweden. So without taking any more of his time, Pastor John, if you'll come and preach to us from the book of Acts. Oh, yes, it's on my notes, too. Children, you're dismissed. Adults, you can't leave, but the children can. We've got a special surprise for you downstairs. While they're being dismissed, tonight, Fred and Trudy Vermeulen are going to be with here. Fred and Trudy are still members here at Oxford Valley Chapel. We've allowed that even within our new constitution. And Fred, again, you'll have to forgive me for not knowing the years, but how many years have we had a relationship with you?
72.
Since 72, okay. A few more years in the Brennemans, and he'll be having the whole hour tonight. He's got a DVD and some slides or some artifacts. Artifacts. Downstairs, the Brennemans have a beautiful display about Sweden, PowerPoint presentation on their counseling center, their home. Also, Brother Ray Druckenmiller. Is Ray up here, or is he still downstairs with the kids? Downstairs with the kids. He has a very nice Chilean display downstairs. There's some currency, so I'd please encourage you after the service, go downstairs and look at their displays. Thank you, Brother John.
This morning I'd like to speak on the subject, our life with God, all the way to the finish line. As we have gathered here for this missions conference, one way of looking at missions is those who go. Fred and Trudy went back in 72. We went in 79 to Sweden. Ray and Sherry are looking forward to going to Chile. And it's a fantastic when a church stands behind us in the ministry that we do in another country. You have done it well. And I anticipate you are going to do it well. And I anticipate you will continue to do it well. But this morning I'd like to take it from a different aspect. And that from the sense that all of us who come to faith are also sent ones. That God has a purpose in mind for each and every one of us. That He wants to use us in the lives of people. In that sense, each and every one of us are missionaries, called and sent of God. What's the process that God takes us through to bring us to a point of being used of Him? This morning I'd like to use the example of Moses from the book of Acts, chapter 7, the passage that has already been read, Acts chapter 7 and verse 20 and up to verse 39. In the first three verses of this passage, we read a little bit of the early life of Moses. Because of the threat of all of the boys being put to death, Moses' life was saved by the daughter of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at that point. And one thinks about this life of Moses as he grew up. He was living in the house, as I said, of the most powerful man in the world at that time, in the land of Egypt. And with that, living in the home of one of the wealthiest people in the entire world. We read in the passage that Moses was lovely. Perhaps that refers to his body, that he grew up to be a handsome man. You look at Moses, wow, what a man! We read in the passage that he was well-educated. In fact, the Egyptians had the best educational system in the world at that point. We read that Moses was a man skilled in words. When he stood to speak, people listened. And he was able to communicate the message that he desired. He was a man who spoke words with power. If you take a step back and think about the life of this Moses, a young man, you would say to yourself, this is a man who lives in a world made of dreams. He had it all. He had everything. He had the physical attractiveness. He had the ability to communicate. He had riches. He had power. He had it all. What a dream. What a dream. Some of us, maybe not to that extent, but some of us have also experienced that dream at one point in our lives, or maybe in some way are experiencing that dream right now. That is to say, life is good. Life is really good. Life is fantastic. We think about what we have. We think about what we are doing. We think about what's going on in our lives. And we say to ourselves,
Life could not be better than it is right now. I love life. I love everything about it. It's a dream. For many people, that's something that we can experience. We can say we love life. Now, there's probably not too many people who can go right through life and say, I love life all the way through to the end. With the dreams that we have, the dreams that we are living, the dream that we experience. Because somewhere along the line, we come to a point where the dreams that we have, the dreams that we are experiencing, are shattered. Something happens to those dreams that we don't expect. That's the way it was with Moses. Very unexpectedly, a day came when he noticed that one of his fellow landsmen was being whipped in a fight with an Egyptian. And Moses, being the person that he was, says, I can handle this. I can take care of this problem. And he stepped in and killed the Egyptian. Day came. Moses noticed that there's a fight between two of his fellow countrymen. And again, he is about to step in when one of them says, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? And with that, Moses was filled with fear and he fled to the land of Midian. Now, I don't know if the word Midian means anything to you. My wife and I had the opportunity to take a trip to Israel last year. Our first time. That was a dream trip. But one day we took a side excursion into the land of Jordan, to the city of Petra. And to get to Petra, we went through Midian. And you know what's in Midian? Nothing. Except for a few bushes here and there. But we drove mile after mile after mile after mile. A barren desert. Nothing. That's where Moses went. To the land of nothing. Where he lived for how many years? 40 years. Banished. Gone. Talk about shattered dreams. A man who had it all. Everything he could possibly want. And in a moment, it's gone. All he has is the desert. Sometimes we experience that as well. In our lives, life is going well. We enjoy life. Life is good. We have our dreams. We're living our dreams. But then suddenly, in a moment that is unexpected, something happens. And we discover that
What I had that was so good, I no longer have. The dream is shattered. Broken into bits and pieces. And perhaps no hope that I will ever again be able to experience the dream that I had. We all are living out a story. And if we had a chance to tell our stories this morning, for some of us, a part of that story would be, could be, might be, a dream that's been shattered. Or dreams that have been shattered. Last Christmas, we received a Christmas letter from a couple that had been through the counseling process with me. I had met her at the age of 19, and eventually she married a man from Iran. They had children. They did have a good life together. In many respects, they were experiencing a dream of life together. I'd like to share a part of this Christmas letter. It's in Swedish. Don't worry, I'm not going to read it. I'll give it a little translation here. To give you the feeling of what they experienced. To all our friends, today it's one more month until Christmas Eve. And for once in my life, I have written our Christmas letter well in advance. Now it's time to summarize our year. And I can say that without question, it has been the most difficult year for our family. My husband has been sick the entire year. He has now begun to the process of getting back into life again. But then he became sick again during the spring and went into a deep depression with the diagnosis PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. He's been in the hospital for 8 weeks, or he was in the hospital for 8 weeks during the summer, and did not feel good at all. At night, he is attacked with terrible nightmares from his past, and he's experiencing a regular lack of sleep, which led to the consequence that his whole body has collapsed. Under this entire period, our family has, of course, been influenced very, very much by what has happened, and many times we have experienced that it's hopeless. Much of our time has been given to just surviving as a family, and we really haven't been able to do anything else with other relationships. But we know that many of you have been standing with us with your prayers, and we are very thankful for that. Here's an ordinary family. Life is going well. And suddenly there comes a year when everything collapses and nothing is the same. That's a shattered dream. What they had in terms of health no longer has. A family that had a lot going for them suddenly is in the survival mode. That's all they can do. And everything feels hopeless. Some of us can identify with that. That somewhere along the line, the dream that we once had has been shattered. And life isn't the same. The one I love is gone. The job that I had, I can no longer go to. The health that I enjoyed, I no longer have. The things that I possessed, I no longer have. Dreams are shattered. And it's at that point that we sometimes take a step back and we say, where's God? Why didn't He show up for me and take care of me? Well, perhaps He did. Because when we talk about dreams, and we talk about shattered dreams, that does not necessarily mean that there will not be another dream. That's exactly what happened in the life of Moses. And that's what can happen in our own lives. But this time, not my dream for my life, but rather God's dream for my life. The text goes on that Moses is brought to the bush that burns, and God speaks to him. And as God speaks to him, He reveals to Moses, I have another dream for you. It's a new dream. It's something that I want for you. And what was that dream? That Moses would be the man who would lead his people Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, to the promised land. What a dream. What a dream! To be chosen for that kind of responsibility. Now, for that new dream to become a part of Moses' life, there was a price to be paid. The years in the wilderness was a part of that price. Moses was broken. And I think there was a need for him to be broken. Because if God had put him into that place of leadership and say, Moses, take my people to the land, Moses would say, no problem, God. I can do it. I'm your man. I'll take care of it. Whenever you want. And that was the problem. That Moses was so skilled and so powerful and so educated that it would be easy to rely on his own strength and his own knowledge and his own education. The example of that was the way he handled the situation with the people who were fighting. I'll take care of it. He needed to be broken. so that his dependence was totally on God. His trust totally in Him. And when his trust is totally in Him, God could use him. Now, he was really broken. Because what was his response? We don't see it here in Acts 7, but for those of you who know the book of Exodus, what was Moses' response at the burning bush when God said, "I want you to lead my people to the land"? What did he say? "Can't do it. I can't talk. I just stammer. Get somebody else. Get my brother. He's much better at this. Let him do it." He was broken. He was broken. But that's the man that God could use. So Moses leads the people out of Egypt and takes them through the wilderness on their way to the land. The new dream. The new dream. God's dream. Not to say that life is always going to be good. What does it say in verse 39 of our text in chapter 7? It says, "And our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt." That wasn't an easy task. Moses living out the dream of God, but there's still obstacles along the way. Life is good when we are in the will of God, His dream, but there still may be obstacles along the way. One other aspect that I'd like to look at before I close this morning. You may have noticed in the text that there are three numbers that are used. What were those numbers? 40, 40, 40. Moses' life is divided up into three 40s. 120 years. What I'd like to do this morning is put our lives into perspective. Maybe not 40, 40, 40. Probably not too many of us who will make it to 120. Now, Judy's grandma is 105. She's still going strong. We're going to see her on Wednesday. If anybody makes it to 120, it's going to be her. But probably it's more realistic for us to think 30, 30, 30. Okay? The first 30 years in Moses' life. It's a good years. Preparation for life. Experiencing the blessings of God in many respects. Discovering life. The dream. I've got life in front of me. My first 30 years. Wow! It's great! I can't wait for the second 30 years to come. If it's anything like the first 30 years. But what happens when 30-year period number two comes? For many of us, those are very trying years, 30 to 60. Because oftentimes we experience that the dreams that we have with us from those early years and take into period number two, oftentimes those dreams are shattered. Oftentimes there are events, there are happenings, there are situations, there are circumstances, there are relationships in our lives. It's not what I expected. It's not what I expected. And we struggle. Is shattered. The hopes that I had no longer there. In many respects, age 30 to 60 can be very difficult years. for us. But then we come to the third period, the last 30 years. And I don't know about you, but when I think about Swedes, when they come to the last 30 years, they're thinking, time to retire, take it easy. And Swedes have pretty good retirement plans. They can take it easy. They can enjoy life. We've worked. Now we're going to sail home. Take it easy. Not Moses. You know what? Everything in Moses' life that he did, first 40 years, second 40 years, was so that he could serve those last 40 years. Those 40 years were the most significant years of his life. They were the years that God most greatly used him. Everything led to that last 40 years. What about us? I hit 60 this year. I'm into the last 30. I'm there. And I have to ask myself that question. How am I looking at those last 30 years? Just a time to enjoy life? Or could it be that I have the most fruitful years ahead of me? Think about it. Life experience? There's a lot. 60 years. Wisdom? I hope. There's some. Relating to life? Yeah. Okay, I admit there's some limitations when we hit 60. Our bodies don't have the same amount of energy as when we were 30. We might not be able to see as well. We may not be able to hear as well. We may not be able to run as fast or walk as quickly. You know what? It doesn't have to be an obstacle. God can still use us in significant ways with all that He's given us. Some of you right now are in your first 30. Great. Those are great years. They really are. Those are fun years. We discover ourselves. Live those years well. And to anticipate a life ahead. Some of you are in the middle 30 right now. You may be going through some struggles. There may be some hopes that have been dashed, some dreams that have been shattered. But God is at work. God is preparing a new dream for you, for me. This sense of expectancy. I wonder what that dream is. How can He use me? Some of us are in the last 30 now. We're there. Am I being fruitful? Am I open to the dream that God has for me to be used of Him? Our life in God. All the way to the finish line. Let's keep our eyes focused. Let's together hit the finish line running well. Lord, thank You for the life of Moses, for his example. Thank You that You used him in a significant way. Thank You that You can use us in significant ways. You are using us in significant ways. Help us to understand what you are doing in our lives right now, whether it be our dreams or our shattered dreams or the dreams that you have for us right now. And I pray that for each of us, that we might live life well, that we will surrender ourselves to you and hit the finish line running, ready to receive those crowns of victory. Pray for your blessing over the years that we have left. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.